Good evening, viewers, and welcome to the Naked Sports Show. This is The Vulture calling. Regular listeners may recall my co-presenter, Mr. Philip Pritchard, playing a non-standard signature tune last week. Not for the first time I was surprised by Lieutenant Pigeon. I wish to assure you all that with me in the chair this week, there will not be a repeat of this incident. Thank you. So what was my sporting highlight of the week? Here's a clue. Run the titles. Where's the volume button on this thing? I tell you what, we're going to do that again later. That went disastrously wrong. Teach me to be clever, won't it, Phil? Good evening. How are you, mate? All right.
All the better for not hearing Lieutenant Pigeon again.
Yeah. Do you want to say that again? Because I forgot to fade you up. I tell you what, it's going so well at the moment, isn't it?
It is. Good job our guest have turned up.
Good old Muhammad Ali. Muhammad's in the corner. He's been very quiet at the moment. He's got a problem with his mic, isn't he, Phil?
So yeah, very quiet.
So he couldn't quite make it. And we've also got Chris Eubank. Hello, Chris. Yes. Good evening, viewers. It's Chris Eubank. No, we can't lie to him anymore, Phil. We've got to tell him that we haven't got any guests this week. It's just me and you.
It is. We did have a guest book, a local golfer. Not of any fame or infamy at all, but a local golfer nonetheless. But unfortunately, he can't make it because he's playing golf.
You can't write this stuff, can you, Phil?
No, you can't.
You can't write this, you know.
What about Jim Majewitt? What was he doing?
I understand he's in Belfast. Phil, don't make me do accents, mate. You know I can't.
He's delighted to be there.
Yeah, he's delighted not to be here, I think. He's probably been
We were potentially going to be getting James Holman, but he's in Northern Ireland as well.
And everyone either seems to be on holiday or away on business.
Deserted us this week.
So Phil, what's been your sporting highlight of the week? Mine was Superstars, as that disastrous intro was supposed to be. We're going to try and get that working a bit later. We'll probably buy your CD for that, actually, Philip. But we'll play out with a bit of Superstars, don't you think?
Yes, indeed. But now they've changed, haven't they, this time? It's not individuals anymore.
Yeah, it's a big departure. I mean, you and I both remember Kevin Keegan falling off his bike and such as some other...
Brian Jackson, his legendary performance in the gym.
Yeah, is it just me, or did Mario Andretti once cheat at the squat thrusts, or did I imagine that a bit?
There was some kind of debate over it, wasn't it? Because there wasn't a clear hop between the front and the back. It was a slide than a hop.
He was using something like...
A lubricant involved.
Lubricant, suntan oil, or something like that, and he was sliding up and down. He wasn't actually doing proper squat thrusts, was he?
Yeah, it was. Controversy.
This was back in 79 or 98.
Yeah, back in the day. Because it came back a couple of years ago, wasn't it? About 2003, 2004, didn't it?
Yeah, but Johnny Vaughan was in the chair, as I remember rightly, wasn't he? It was Johnny Vaughan who introduced it.
Was Kirsty Gallagher involved as well?
Possibly was, yeah. And it was kind of the BBC did the traditional, you know, the old format, which was the individual who's the best at sport kind of thing. So that was pretty good. But they've kind of monkeyed around a little bit with the formula, haven't they?
I think they've got four captains, haven't they? They've got Kelly Holmes, Steve Redgrave, a rugby player whose name is it Mike Catt?
Mike Catt, yeah.
Was the rugby player, and Roger Black as the four captains. Then a squad of celebrities, sporting celebrities who they're selecting on their perceived merits to make up the side. Karen Pickering's in there, actually.
Karen Pickering's in there. And the other thing that I loved about it was the fact that they kind of done the whole school sports day thing, and they've actually, you can be last pick.
Lee Sharp
was the last pick.
the girl that looks like a man got picked before him, the boxer.
Jane Couch, that's the boxer, yeah.
Shelley Rudman, the mad woman who goes down the tea tray on the side of a mountain.
That's the one, yeah. I believe it's called the Bob Skeleton. Technically speaking, it's the Bob Skeleton.
And then there was Karen Pickering as well, who all got picked ahead of Playboy Lee.
Yeah. Oh, Playboy Lee. He must be, you know what he's like. He would have been at school, wouldn't he? Best footballer at school? And he'd have always been first pick. And now, I just like the idea of him now being last pick at something. Isn't
everyone gets their turn.
Everyone gets their turn. By the way, please can somebody email us. The address, as ever, is nakedsportsshow@icrfm.co.uk. Or if you're listening via the web in the outlying reaches of space, or Trimley, you can click on the link on the website and we'll get your message. Failing that, write, send a pigeon, lieutenant or otherwise, have your manservant pop a calling card through the front door of ICRFM Towers. Anything, just get in touch and give us some chat. Send us an email, you're probably going to get talked about on air, as long as it's not rude, obviously.
Yes. Every chance of that this week. But anyway, the guests notwithstanding, there's still plenty to talk about this week, plenty of sports happening this week and over the week, coming weekend, and weekend just gone, no doubt, as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, where should we start? Cricket, golf?
Well, cricket,
football?
I think we should start with the cricket. Started so well, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that's on last weekend and this weekend, so we might as well.
Mm. We started so well against South Africa. It was slightly annoying, wasn't it? The fact that, that there we are, absolutely, batting the South Africans out of the game for 2 days, and then all of a sudden it all went a little bit.
Yeah. Must admit, I was a little bit apprehensive going into this test series. I thought South Africa, our best opposition we've come up against for a while. I think it really would be a test of our credentials. I mean, the side, as we've discussed previously in the summer, has evolved somewhat over the last couple of years. Some of the new lads coming in, your Broads, your side bottoms, your Andersons, how would they stand up to real top-class opposition? And you've got to say, the batsmen at the top end of the order did a sterling job the first couple of days. Michael Vaughan apart, who only got two, and Collingwood only got seven, but the rest of them, there was Peterson's 152, there was Broad, lower down the order was 76, and what about Ian Bell? One short of his maiden double century, and he goes and gets out. You couldn't ride it, could you?
I heard he was the first English batsman ever to be out for 199.
Oh, I'm sure he's delighted with that one.
with that particular stat. Yeah, you've got to be gutted for him because he played so well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bell's one of these players in the side who's not everyone's always been convinced about, it has to be said. Going back to the Ashes in 2005, people were questioning his place in the side, but I think now he's kind of knows what Test cricket's all about. He's pretty impressive, and you can say that about the vast majority of the side now, right through the order, from Strauss and Cook at the top, Vaughan, not the highest scorer in terms of Test runs maybe over the last few years, but I think his captaincy and the way he controls the side with such a calm demeanour brings so much more than just runs. It's one of those unquantifiable measures that he brings.
Yeah, and I, as well as Bell's sterling effort, which was entertaining in its own right, always a pleasure to watch Peterson bat. He's a born entertainer, really, isn't he?
No, he is indeed. I mean, 152 off, I think it was 200 or so balls at Test match level against the likes of South Africa is really not bad going at all.
Yeah.
And his fours, his sixes, the characteristic that he brings to it. He was having a bit of a banter, obviously, with the South Africans, given that's his country of birth, so I think they were giving him a bit of the old sledging.
Yeah, they
were.
Well,
returning
they certainly
in
spades,
were. Wasn't he?
Yeah. But you and I went to the Oval a couple of years back, didn't we, and saw Peterson bat in that famous, or should we say infamous, test against Pakistan. And
The match we won,
although...
Not anymore.
Or as of last week, we may have drawn it, the one where the Pakistanis walked off the field. Me and you were both there, but that was the highlight of the day, was watching Peterson smack a couple of huge sixes over the boundary, and... Worth the admission money on his own a lot of the time.
Well, he came in, didn't he? It wasn't like he was there overnight. He came in on naught and he got to 96 before lunch, went for his century mistimed it. And to be fair to the wicketkeeper, pulled off a great catch. I mean, although he mistimed it, it looked like it was still going to run away for four. And the wicketkeeper got down low to the side and pulled off a great catch, which is a shame because he'd been holding nothing all morning. But there we go.
Yeah.
But those sixes that you mentioned were... possibly the catalyst for the controversy that followed later on in the day.
Well, this is the debate we had. What was the condition of the balls down to the fact that Peterson had hit them into the advertising?
Yeah, he was using the stands as landing practice, wasn't he? So if you think about that, the ball's getting smashed against the concrete, it's going to scuff it up a bit, and you could say that Darryl Hare maybe saw that and thought, well, the bowling side had been doing it, but maybe it was just Peterson hitting it with such force into the stands, it was destroying the ball on his own.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. By the way, at this juncture, I should say happy birthday to my sister, without getting too Radio 1. Happy birthday to Isabel. She's, I won't say how old she is today, she'll kill me. And she's bound to have the rest of the family listening, so that's my nieces and nephews. That's Francesca, William, and James, and of course, got to give brother-in-law Mark a mention as well. So, hello to you all. Hope you enjoyed the show.
He could play a Superstars.
He could, yeah.
If he didn't get it to work.
Should we try again? Actually, should we try again at this juncture? This is a bit of a freeform radio here, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Let's give it a go. Here we go. Maybe this is the volume. I don't know. Here we go.
Still quiet.
Still quiet. I reckon it's my CD, Phil. I tell you what. You keep chatting, give me your copy.
There we go. Anyway, getting back to the cricket. I mean, it's all going so well those first 2 days. We had South Africa well and truly on the run. We then declare at the back end of Friday and have a couple of overs at them. I think they were 13 for naught overnight. Bowl them out on the Saturday, which again was something thought we might struggle to do. So we put the cat amongst the South African pigeons and thought, hello, we're on for a victory here.
And we had 2 days to bowl them out, didn't we?
2 days to bowl them out, and to be fair, they went away, they regrouped, and they battered themselves through. I think there was 3 centurions in their inning, wasn't there, out of the 4 of them that batted. And or 4 or 5 of them that batted, and they saw themselves through to what was eventually a comfortable draw. But no, I mean, Lords isn't a place where we traditionally win either. It's not a pitch that does us any favours.
We've got a very poor record, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember going back to the Ashes again. Australia won there, didn't they? And everyone thought, here we go, a 5-0 whitewash on home ground in the Ashes, and we thought that was the writing on the board. But no, I mean, to put up a good performance at somewhere like Lords, where we don't always do, I don't know if it's because it's the home of the cricket and other sides raise their game. A bit like Wembley is with football.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think you've got a point there. There's
Well, it's just a difficult pitch to play on from our point of view to get a result on.
Mm.
Who knows? I mean, it could be a combination of the two. But looking forward to the test at Headingley starting on Friday, you could say that the selection dilemmas now, where some of the injured lads who have been out and been perennially injury-prone over the last couple of years, your Flintoffs, your Jones, your Harmisons, and even Hoggard, for that matter, they're all back and they're all form now, on form for their counties now. Jones with Worcestershire, Harmison for Durham, Flintoff's been doing well with that, and Ball for Lancashire. So they're really knocking on the door, and these lads who have come in, maybe as a needs must, the likes of your Broads and your Andersons and your Sidebottoms have they've done themselves justice without a doubt, especially Sidebottom and Broad. But now these other boys are really giving them a battle for their places, and Flintoff's looking like he's going to have his place back.
Yeah, it looks like he is. I mean, Freddie's another one. He's a natural born entertainer on the cricket field, and I think we'd all love to see him. But part of me thinks if it isn't broken, don't fix it. And perhaps they haven't changed the side for the last 6 tests.
Yeah, a test record it was. Yeah, as we said last week on the show. I mean, you've got to say that. I mean, you can include Panesar in that mix as well. I guess the new lads who have come in over the last year or two have really, really stepped up to the plate, and it is a case of. Can you justify dropping them? But then again, I think a fit Simon Jones is as good as anything we've got.
And
Flintoff are two of the best exponents of reverse swing in the business. And if they're fit and on decent form for their counties, you've really got to put them in the mix for the test side and maybe give them a go. I mean, the side bottom, I think, is supposed to be carrying a side strain, isn't he? So maybe that's one in for him anyway, then that's an easy decision. But then someone like Collingwood, who's not really contributed with a bat much lately in the test... in test matches, and also, although he bowls a few overs, you've got to say Flint was more likely to take wickets than Collingwood, and he's just as likely to score as many runs, so you've got to wonder if Collingwood's maybe a bit of a question mark over his head.
Yeah. Still, interesting times ahead in the cricket, and of course we've got our day out at the Oval to look forward to in August, haven't we?
That's right. So when's next? Headingley's starts on Friday, doesn't it? Who's after that? Is it Trent Bridge getting their turn?
I think it's Trent Bridge, yeah.
And then down to Everton, it's a 4-test series, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Should we do the Vultures Venture versus Toddler Tip? And should we try and introduce it with a bit of music? This could go very wrong. Should we try again? Here we go.
Third time lucky, eh?
This is what you've all come.
Careful, ladies and gents.
This is Phil's copy of our intros table, and we just hope it works. Here we go. I'm doing something wrong here.
Have you got the right slider faded up?
Yeah, CD. Here we go. Oh, hang on. What?
No, you got the end of it. Well done.
This is about 2 minutes long, mate.
I thought we were morphing into another song.
This is classic, isn't it?
Get back to the bit everybody knows.
It's coming. So anyway, we'll give you a bit of a background to this.
Background music.
This song, I'll give you a bit about it in a minute, because it's getting to the good bit.
Are we nearly there yet?
Yeah, we're nearly there. I think that's quite enough of that. Anyway, a little bit more, Interesting fact about this piece of music, it's actually written by Johnny Pearson. I love doing that. Who actually wrote the theme tune to All Creatures Great and Small. Did you know that?
No.
And also, it's called Heavy Action, is the actual title of the piece.
Not Superstars.
Yeah, not called Superstars, and it's also used as the theme tune to Monday Night Football in the States as well. So,
right.
A bit of an interesting fact for you.
With an American Richard Keys.
We'll just fade that back a little bit. We'll have a little play of it in the background, you see. I tell you what, Phil, embarrassingly, for the last 8 weeks or so, I've been getting the wrong slider for the CD. That's part of my problem. Graham Blackburn, if you're listening, we've worked it out now.
He'll be spinning in it with not. I'm going to say he's spinning in his grave, but he's not dead yet.
I loved that. That has got to be my favourite moment of the whole series so far, Phil, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yeah, Vulture's Venture, toddler's tip. Right, let's get this over with. The contest is entering its last furlong now, isn't it? And my tip for the 3:05 at Newmarket on Saturday is a horse called Master of Arts.
How did we get on last week, actually, before we go on to this week's
selections? Good question. Well presented, Phil.
Selections.
I'm glad you presented me, because I've written my script the wrong way round. I tell you what, if you want professionals, Radio 1 is just across the dial there. By the way, so last week's Winged Wonders performed well. Lauren's selection, Wing Collar, actually wasn't too far off her first placing. She finished fourth. But my nag, Gull Wing, lost on the line by a half of one of Her Majesty's lengths to a horse called Yellowstone. But that second place added to my total profit to the tune of 28 pence. So at the moment, I am £2.27 in profit, whereas Lauren, sadly, still to get off the mark, she's on minus £6. So, going on to my selection this week, I've gone for Master of Arts in the 3:05 at Newmarket Saturday. Unbeaten in four starts this season, and I know what Phil's going to say. Yes, he's bound to be favourite, but if this one gets in, I'm hoping this is going to see me over the line. But what's Lauren's horse of choice this week?
You mentioned your pick, Master of Arts. I thought it was called 1-1-1-1-1 Master of Arts, because that was the form next to it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
A bit like the football team. I thought they were called Queen of the South Nil.
Queen of the South Nil, yeah. 1-1-1-1, yes. There was the, I thought, you know, 1-1-1-1, it'd be a bit stupid not to back a horse that hasn't lost this season. But yeah, there you go.
Anyway, Lauren has gone for 1-1-1-1 Master of Arts.
Has she? Oh, controversial, ladies and gentlemen. She's Lauren quite keen to get off the mark, is she?
It would appear so. She picked about five different horses before she settled on that one. She kept changing her mind.
Okay.
As women are wont to do. But, she settled on Master of Arts. I think she's looking for a bit of a result this week.
Right. And she's looking for a grandstand finish, of course, because whatever happens, we're still going to have the same kind of gap between us.
Yeah. And I think she's trying to get herself out of negative equity first and into a positive.
Yeah, well, good luck to her. Obviously, you know, I don't like to win this by too much. And we did mention last week. By the way, it's not showing that I'm having a bad day, is it? Yeah, but anyway, next...
We've got any emails.
No, we haven't. Last week, me and Phil mentioned that we're going to do it if we get recommissioned, and on tonight's performance, that's...
Doubtful.
That's doubtful. If we get recommissioned, we're probably going to do myself against Mr. Pritchard to kind of have an interesting little contest there, because obviously, Lauren...
What did you call me last week?
Yeah, by the way...
I wouldn't try that tonight, the night you're at.
Yeah, good idea. By the way, Mr. Pritchard, we have had a complaint from Norfolk.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, somebody from Nectar near Swaffham emailed me during the week and wasn't happy about your, shall we say, coverage of the people north of the border.
So, I do apologise for saying they're six-fingered freaks. I meant to say seven.
You can't tell some people, can you? You just can't tell some people. Again, I wish to distance myself from that remark by Mr. Philip Pritchard. And
can we talk about sport again?
Should we talk about sport? How about a bit of golf? The Open's
coming
up.
British Open, Royal Birkdale. Why is it called Royal, some of the courses, and not others?
Well, because it's affiliated to the Royal Ancient, I believe. Something to do with it's a course upon which the Royal team may play at any time. I don't
this
know.
This weekend,
yeah.
Came off your oiks, were you fancy your
now, that would game. Be funny, wouldn't it, if Prince Andrew suddenly turned up and said, oi, you lot off. Yeah, I want a game. Come on.
So, but anyway, yes, Royal Birkdale this week, British Open. Padraig Harrington's the defending champion from last year, but he's, as you may well have read in the press, he's... got a bit of an injury worry over his wrist, which is, if you're a golfer, I guess having a wrist injury is not great news for you.
Not ideal, is it? Is it anything to do with that kind of whole swingy apparatus on the top half of the body, you'd have thought you're struggling.
Yeah. I think, I had a quick look on the BBC website before we came on air, and he went to his practice round today. I think he managed a whole two shots and declared that he was simply too painful before he went to practice his putting in his short game.
Yeah, he's going to get the caddy to hit the shots for him.
Yeah, if the tournament's starting tomorrow and he's struggling to hit two shots today, kind of fear for his chances.
Yeah, you would have to, really, wouldn't you? Of course, no Tiger Woods. Of course, Tiger Woods, the big draw in golf anywhere in the world.
Ah, see what you've done there, big draw.
Ah, yeah, you see what I've done there. You see, perhaps I'm not having such a bad night after all. unintentional pun there, ladies and gentlemen. He's Tiger is not there. You think the organisers are going to perhaps regret that, but it's still quite an open field. Garcia apparently is the favourite for those of you who are of a betting persuasion.
Yeah, well, if the bookies odds are anything to go by, Garcia's a favourite at 12-1, Ernie Els 16, Mickelson, who's never won the Open, has he? The British
he
Open.
Never
I think
has
he's
won
all the other majors, no, never the British.
Yep.
Lee Westwood at 20-1, which I guess is better than backing Tim Westwood at 20-1. Everyone else 25-1 and above. So you've got to say the four of them, the bookies think the favourite will come from. But every year, well, every tournament, you could say, every major, there's always somebody who jumps out of the pack and brings a potential surprise. You're going back to your John von Vandervelts a few years ago, Justin Rose 10 years ago this year.
Paul Laurie, didn't he? Yeah.
Paul Laurie, you mean, the history of golf is littered with these people who come from nowhere and put on a really good performance and even come very close or win the thing. So, it could be any one of them.
We have had an email, Phil.
Have we?
Yes. This is from somebody called Dave, and he's emailed in and said, should women play in the men's open? Good question, Dave.
Yeah, well, I guess it goes... You could extend that question further by looking at the whole tennis... debate.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I guess they're more than welcome to. If they think they're going to... if they think they can compete on an even par, then... why not? Even pass. There's another golfing intentional, unintentional pun. But yeah, if they think they can compete and do themselves justice and meet the qualifying standard, why not?
It's not the thin end of the wedge. Oh, I'm on fire now. Considering other sports where men and women compete separately, I don't suppose the whole power issue and the fact that it's a physiological fact, men are built more strongly than women and probably hit the ball further. But in golf, it's kind
accuracy
of...
accuracy is going to get you a lot. You mean you can hit the ball 300 yards. If you hit 300 yards off course, then... Yeah. And you've got a lady who's hit it 250 yards on course, straight down the middle of the fairway, who's hit the better shot?
I mean, someone who's a great putter, obviously, needs a shot more to get on the green, is probably going to just do just as well as someone who can hit the ball 400 yards but can't putt for toffee.
I mean, you could say the same. But, I mean, talking about tennis there, I think they this year decided to award the women's and the men's Wimbledon champion the same prize money.
Same prize money.
Which is all very good in the world of equality and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But then if the ladies are playing... only three sets maximum, the men are playing five, why shouldn't the men get more? They're doing more work for it.
There is that argument, yeah, they are actually doing more work for their money, yeah.
So, who knows?
Who knows?
But I know something we didn't mention when we were talking about cricket. We were looking on the local website of the Evening Star. We must give a mention to Jamie Lee for Mildon Hall's second 11, playing against Walsham at the weekend. Hit 132 not out, 16 sixes, so we've got 96 runs of his just off them 16 sixes, and he managed to get in two overs, he got 11 sixes.
11 sixes.
I was reading it, I think they brought the spinner on, they were both the spinners and he was just smashing them out of the park, and at the start of the second over, the ball bounced about three times down the track before it got to him. I think he was going to run after it and go for a smash, but he was worried about getting run out, so he just left it go down the leg side.
Yeah.
But 11 sixes and 12 balls puts even Mr. Napier.
It does. I mean, he's obviously done the six sixes, the old Jack Cullis and the and Gary Sobers, obviously first man to do it. Malcolm Nash, the unfortunate bowler on that occasion. Yeah.
Well, it happened to us in the 2020, doesn't it? Was it Stuart Broad might have got clobbered for six sixes? Was it the 2020 or was it the One Day World Cup last year?
I'm not sure actually.
Emailing anybody if you know.
I know it was Dan Van Bunga was the Dutch bowler who was absolutely smacked out of the park by Jack. It was Jack Cullis, wasn't it? Herschel Gibbs.
Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, Herschel Gibbs. I'm sure it was.
But anyway, we've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Time to talk. We haven't talked about football yet today, which is a miracle as far as we're concerned.
Oh, the myriad goings on at Portman Road.
Yeah, or more in particular, I've made a list here of alleged transfers. Well, we know that Gareth McCauley and Pim Balkestein have both signed, both played a game or two in pre-season friendlies. They're in and appear to be looking good. So well done them. On the, if we look at the outgoings first, we know Williams has gone to Bristol City for a couple of hundred thousand. If rumours are to believe, you'd say that Harding's potentially on his way out. I don't think he's featured in any of the pre-season games yet.
Is anyone coming for Harding, by the way?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he's clearly not in Jim's plans by the sound of it. I think it's a bit harsh, because he seems to have taken a lot of the blame of last year's failings, especially away from home, when he was left dreadfully exposed in a number of games, most notably
Charlton
away. I think we lost 3-0 when he's... left midfielder who was Gary Roberts left him dreadfully exposed, and no wonder Charlton was skinning him for toffee. Dean Bowditch, he signed his one year's contract, but you do kind of get the feeling he's maybe going to get a month or two out on loan, come back here and then really show what we can do. I mean, hopefully we'll finally get the best out of him.
With old Dean, I mean, you'll want him to do well, Dean Bowditch, but you have to say he's on borrowed time, isn't he? Yeah. If he doesn't do it this time, that's it, he's on his way.
Yeah, you kind of think that Shane Supple might be on his way out on loan again, especially if Wright and another goalkeeper or two sign.
Well, they're saying the Wright deal's stalled, haven't they?
Yeah, well, apparently Magilton's given them to the end of this week, hasn't he, West Ham, to sort their lives out and make a decision. But the more time ticks on, the more you wonder if it's going to go pear shaped for 2 years in a row.
Yeah, and I actually don't have a problem with Supple starting in goal for us next season.
No, we certainly need another keeper. We can't just rely on Supple to start as no one on the bench. I'm guessing we might sign Holman as a on playing forms as well, as an emergency cover, in the same way Andy Rhodes was. But we do need a second proper professional keeper.
Well, we need competition, really. Yeah. I mean, Supple plus one other. But my point being, if it did come to the fact we came to August, and I'm sure it's not going to happen, but if we come to August and we still haven't got a keeper, I've seen enough of Supple to think he can do a job.
Yeah, but if he gets injured or gets sent off or something daft in the first game, then we need someone to cover him.
Yeah.
John Walters, these rumours to Stoke just simply won't go away. They've been going around all summer. Although there's been no word from Walters, his agent, from Jim, from Stoke, from the Ipswich board, so you kind of wonder how much truth is in it, but there must be something there for the rumour to just keep going and going.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't play in the friendly, did he? But that was due to a virus,
didn't he? Owen Garvin hasn't signed his extension to his contract yet, so his contract's up at the end of this coming season, so if he doesn't sign it, you're going to wonder if he's going to be off, where he's rumoured to have been linked with Birmingham.
Yeah, I think he might be angling for a move to the Premiership, mightn't he?
Yeah.
Really.
But then, I mean, if I was him, I'd sign the contract, get more money out of Ipswich anyway. And then if we don't go up this year, I'm sure if he's had a good season, someone will come in for him anyway, and that means that he gets a wage, we get a transfer fee for him. Danny Haynes is another one, keeps getting linked with Premiership clubs. Portsmouth seem to be the one who generally get linked with him.
Yeah.
Wigan, I think, as well. Everton, I think, was a rumour a few months back. And Alan Lee as well. If some of these strikers come in that we're due to be linked with, you like your Karastiasis, Maynard, Lisby or Morrison, if any of those come in, you kind of think that maybe one of the strikers will be on their way.
Mm. What do you make of the Karastiasis situation?
Well, apparently he's back from his holiday now, because he represented Greece obviously in the Euros, so he was allowed extended leave to come back to go and sorry extended leave before he came back from his summer holidays. Apparently we're more or less agreed a fee with Nuremberg, enough for them to give us permission to speak to the man if he wishes. And he's come out and said at the start of this week he doesn't want to leave Nuremberg full stop, but then I think he's kind of been told by them that he is going to leave because they can't afford his wages anymore now they've been relegated.
You are leaving.
Yeah, he's come out today, and I mean, it was thought that a move to another German league side would be what he's after, but he's come out today and said if he leaves Nuremberg he's going to leave Germany, he doesn't want to play for another German side.
No, that's right.
Which makes you wonder if the door's open for us.
Yeah, if the door's open.
and there it is, bang on cue, here
comes our relief. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our time with you is up. We're going to do something unusual here, Phil. Should we play out a bit of Superstars?
Can I just say, actually, if we sign Lisby, I will not be happy.
Phil won't be happy if we sign Lisby. Can I just say, Mum, if you're listening, you can come and get me now. The show's nearly over. Right, okay. Let's have a bit of Superstars, shall we? Let's rock. Right, cheerio, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Bye.